We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Hey, good morning. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, All Things Legal. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. We'll answer your legal question or even your sports question. We've got Albert Nico this morning back. Good morning, Albert.
Yeah, back from a little vacation. It was very nice. Went to Croatia. It was wonderful. If anybody has the opportunity to go there, it's a beautiful country. There was no trash on the ground. I think I saw two policemen walking around the whole time.
You feel very safe.
There were two policemen walking around, I think, the whole time I was there. It just, people were nice and friendly and happy you were there. Spending money, right?
Well, South Louisiana has a very strong connection with that part of the world.
Absolutely. Every itch, vitch, and son of a gun in South Louisiana, Plaquemines Parish, they're all either Croatian or Serbian or come from that part of town. And anyway, so it's
like probably the most famous, one of the more famous itches in right. Louisiana, or Drago's only Tommy Santanovich.
Tommy and Jerry, our Jefferson Parish coroner. In fact, I was on the trip with them, and it was great because they spoke the language, although everybody really spoke English.
Yeah, they did.
It was just very nice for them to be able to go and translate. And
we were also there last month, mm-hmm. and we had one of our guides spoke phenomenal English.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true story. This is true. You can't make this up. And so I said, how long have you spent time in the United States? Because they spoke better English than us people
right.
who grew up in Metro, you know?
Right, right.
And so he says, I've never been to America. I said, well, did you take English in college? He says, I took a little bit. We had to take a course, but not especially.
Right.
I said, how did you learn? He said, well, in the early 90s, he lived right off of, I think, in maybe which city had the big island? Dubrovnik or Split? One of those.
There's
places.
A lot. Well, yeah, Dubrovnik and Split.
Where they had
are coastal
Game
towns.
Of Thrones when they had the Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, the Dubrovnik. Dubrovnik is the old city.
Well, that's where they had the Serbian-Croatian War, and they had the U.S. Eisenhower in that bay lobbing missiles protecting the Croatians. And he said his father got a satellite. Because they had a war for 4 years to sort of keep abreast as to what was going on in connection with the war.
Right.
And he said as he was growing up, he watched Tom and Jerry and Tupac and learned English, and he would imitate both.
Wait, he learned English from Tupac?
That's what he said. I told you I couldn't make it up. So he probably combined the both and came out pretty good.
Yeah, right, right.
So he said, I watched satellite TV as a young person, and I watched Tom and Jerry, and I would imitate them, and because he didn't have he had a Tom and Jerry accent with
right.
a little Tupac to it. And so it was just sort of an interesting thing
that
he learned, and he speaks beautifully. He wants to come to the United States.
Of course. Everybody
and I told
does.
Him to come.
Everybody wants to.
He works three jobs.
Yeah,
college graduate.
Let me tell you, these are hardworking, proud people. Let me tell you what, and this is what we need to keep in mind as a country, is that they were at war 27 years ago. 1992 is when the Homeland War ended.
Or 95, actually. It was 91 to
95. 91 to 95, yeah, right. So, we were talking about 92 with Miss Clara. But, through 95. So, almost 25 years ago, this war ended. Right. We went to Mass on two occasions It was standing room only. They had speakers outside.
Yeah.
Because they almost lost their right to practice their religion.
Right.
They almost lost, you know, so they are such a proud people. You know, again, they've pushed back the enemy over and over and over again for a thousand years. They're proud. They're happy to be Croatian. It's a very great, and we have that threat. We have that threat of losing our American heritage, and they know what to have that on the brink.
Well, what they were told, they were told that they could not have their religious beliefs in the public square. Mm-hmm. In other words, they would be sanctioned for it, prosecuted for it. It started out, you know, in the public square and went from there. Do we today have that same issue
mm-hmm.
where you profess your faith in the public square and then you get pounded for it or you get, you know, saying, well, you can't rent a room at a public building because
right.
you might utter a religious expression.
Right.
Whereas any other, you know, organization could. So you have those issues and we'll see where it goes from there.
Right. Well, and again, there was the whole ethnic cleansing. They wanted to do away with everything Croatian. Right. And so it ended up. You know, and look, they love Americans because we came to their
aid. One thing about him, we did. They had the U.S. He said he used to look out his window and see the U.S. Eisenhower mm-hmm. lobbing missiles across the mountains mm-hmm. to protect their freedom.
Right,
and they love America.
And there's still signs of bullet holes in the old buildings, and right. a lot of it's been repaired. They have a lot of photos of before and after pictures of just these red terracotta roofs blown to pieces that have been refurbished, and it's
where East, actually historically that's where East met West, and they had a lot of conflict there, and that's the short version of it. Also, too, while we're talking about this, I guess history. 50 years ago from yesterday was the moonwalk.
Yeah.
And they had all
pretty good stuff. Oh, they yesterday.
Wonderful. I mean,
I watched, they had C-SPAN had the CBS feed.
Live feed.
From 50 years ago.
From Walter Cronkite. And I mean, it was just such a great.
Yeah. I was 8 years old.
Yeah. I remember it, though.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the house on Canal Boulevard watching it. Absolutely.
And, you know, the team. I was really impressed with the mission control team and how they worked together. I mean, these guys were heroes. And
right.
the problems they encountered,
right.
you know, Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong couldn't find, you know, had a hard time landing his ingenuity.
Right.
Apollo 12, there were 60 seconds where the computer shut down. And it had in 60 seconds, they had to get them back up. And they did that. Apollo 13 was probably as compelling as Apollo 11 in getting them back because there is no way they should have survived that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the prayers of the nation and the ingenuity of mission control to just put their heads together, work as a team, and get them back together. I mean,
right.
it was great for our country, you take our
best and our brightest, right?
And you
put them together, and it's a great thing.
So it was a lot of fun, and mm-hmm. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of specials today. And it's good for – it's hard – I guess the millennials – we always kid the millennials. But it's hard to explain to them how big of a deal it was that we went to the moon in such a short period of time.
Well, their whole life they've had a cell phone. I mean, you know, we were watching that thing on an antenna TV. You know,
right, but the cell phones came from those NASA missions.
Well, of course.
Or the technology from
sure,
that.
Sure, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
So that's – I mean, it's been a great week to watch that and celebrate that. And what a great accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes America – people can get upset.
Yeah.
It makes it a wonderful country.
It's the best country in the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All
well,
right.
If not, we wouldn't have people piling in to get here.
Uh-huh, busting down our doors legally and illegally to
exactly.
get here, right? So
exactly.
there you go. And also, this is sort of quiet. This is probably the last weekend that not a lot of significant sports is occurring. We're all up to the buildup. I think we're up about 50-some-odd. Let's see. Today's the 20th, 21st, so we got 10 plus 31. We got 44 days to LSU football.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you, Doug. You're losing track of your count.
And we got the countdown coming. The Georgia Southern, September 2nd.
There you go.
And then we got Saints training camp in about a week and a half, which a lot of optimism, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But Saints players, do not read the papers.
Right.
Do not read the papers about how great you are.
Right.
Because you're just as good as the Buffalo Bills right now. So
exactly.
That's a, you know, so
yeah, everybody's
zero
on the
zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's sort of exciting time, tempered optimism, but please do not read the papers.
Yeah.
And we have.
And now look, we got a heck of a schedule the first 4 weeks too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we got
play the Rams in Seattle.
I walked into a sporting goods store, and I noticed Zion everywhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, the Zion jerseys. They're already great for the city.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of optimism. A lot of these guys who were starting at the end of the season last year have already been cut because of the upgrade in roster talent. And so,
No, I agree. I like all the things they're doing. You know, yeah. I think they have a good enough team to make the playoffs. They're not gonna go real deep, but I think they've got a good enough team to make the playoffs. I kind of like them because they're a little bit lacking in superstardom. Zion's not there. He's a 19-year-old kid.
He's going to be a contributor.
That's right. He can't carry the team on his back, and this city can't expect him to. And that's the pressure, you know, when he comes out being a little above average, they can't let their guard down or let their hopes down because he's a project. He's got some time. Anthony Davis took a few years to get there. So, anyway, but I do like the fact that they really don't have a whole lot of superstars. And so I think they're going to play together well. I think they're going to all go out there, and it's going to take a little time. They'll lose some games in the beginning trying to figure out who fits best where and what their roles are and how things are going. I'd still be happier if we didn't have Gentry as a coach.
Oh, I think he's good. I think he'd be fine.
Well,
we'll see. But
let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then
we transitioned from the New Orleans Pelicans to Wills in the state.
There you
planet.
Go. That's yeah, Jim, hang on the line. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
All right, we'll see you back after this brief timeout. We're back, Doug Cinceri, Albert. Nico, we're just here for all things legal. We're going to go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim's got a question regarding wills. Hey, Jim, you on all things legal with Dustin Terry.
Yes, on your last show, you were talking about wills.
Yes.
And I have a simple question.
Sure.
I'm not married, 72 years old, don't have any property, never been married, no children. Can I just write something down and have it notarized, or do I need to have an attorney?
All right. What do you mean you don't have any? You don't have any property? Meaning you don't have any real estate?
No.
Okay. So what is it that you do have?
I have a large collection, and I have nieces and nephews. My brother and sister are both in their 70s.
Uh huh.
But I have a large collection at the shop, which is part of the shop, and I don't want them coming in and selling everything off after I die. I just want to kind of keep it at the shop.
Okay.
I don't care about the rest of my stuff at the house.
Right. You could. Okay. So there are different types of wills, and you have a notarial testament, which has to be completely typed, sworn before a notary and two witnesses, and you have to sign it before a notary and two witnesses. Then there's something called an olographic will, but then an olographic will has to be proven by witnesses that it is that they're familiar with your handwriting, and it is your handwriting, it is your testament. That is a handwritten will that's dated and signed by you. From what you're telling me right now, and if you put it in the language you just told me right now, I would not understand how you wanted your property to devolve. I have questions about that. And so I think it would be a good idea. And the questions I have, what shop, what do you want to put in the shop, not put in the shop?
The shop, yeah. It's a shop where I work.
Who owns the shop? Who owns the shop?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you lease it? Do you own it?
Who owns the shop, or is it consigned?
Long-time employee.
And so you have items at the shop that you own that are for sale on consignment?
No, just there for decoration and environment.
Okay, and so you want to leave
them
in the shop?
Say what now?
You want to leave those in the shop?
Correct.
Okay, and who is the shop owner? There is a shop owner, correct? You don't have to say their name.
Yeah.
So give them to the shop owner. Just say, here, I give these to you. I want you to have them. sign a little piece of paper. Here you go.
I think you probably would need an attorney to help you draw the roadmap to have your intentions carried out. That would probably
That's what I wanted to know.
And it's not an expensive process.
No, it just probably take an hour or two.
Right. And then the other thing is, what we typically do is we'll do a power of attorney, right? Where we recommend something should happen to you, you get to the point where you can't handle your affairs. You're going to want somebody making decisions for you that you trust for your your health care. Somebody, you want to give somebody authority to get your records, your medical records, because all these privacy laws in place, you've got to, you know, you've got to have someone that has authority to obtain those records on your behalf and pay your bills and do those things. And so, to me, as a person without a spouse or without children that would ordinarily step up in that capacity, it's probably a good idea that you have a power of attorney, a declaration executed.
All right, good. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jim.
You know, it's sort of an interesting thought. Is first of all, you know, the wills, we're not fans of holographic wills.
I'm not.
And we came across one where it was several pages, wasn't dated and signed properly, used ambiguous language, but it's the formalities. And even if it was probated, which it wasn't because it didn't comply with the formalities, nobody would understand.
Exactly.
I don't think Yogi Berra could have understood if we had him interpret the will.
Exactly. Yogi
Berra is a baseball
thing.
Player who says, when you had the fork of the road, take it, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He just
80% of baseball is half metal.
That's right. Nobody goes to that restaurant anymore because it's always too crowded.
Exactly.
So that kind of, you know, language is in the
Well, and I had one recently where he was trying to make that person his agent as in a power of attorney in that document, at the same time drafting a will, and it was all handwritten. There was stuff written in the margin. There were some items that were written down after the signature line, so were they added? I mean, it was a kind of a mess.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good. Look, it's not a huge expense. It's probably a lot of
peace of mind,
and it's a lifetime of what you accumulated. You want to make sure it goes where it's supposed to in a very orderly fashion that makes sense.
And Jim's the kind of guy, you know, he's a single guy, and he wants to make, you know, he
wants to leave a legacy.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a lot of nieces and nephews, and so who gets what? Who's going to step up and handle it? Who's going to, you know, got a lot of questions.
There you go. All right. Well, let's going to our first CBS News update. Then we're going to Don Ames with news. So we'll be back in about 4 minutes and all things legal. We're going to be on till 10 o'clock. Jeff Sports will be at 10 o'clock after us. So stay tuned. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. You know, there's a lot of aspects of law. You know, you got business law, corporate law, you got family law, you got
bankruptcy, tax, SEC, you name it.
I mean, if you watch the news in the morning, you think there's only one type of law, people getting hurt in car accidents. And that's probably about 1/100th of the law as far as, you know, the various components of it. And one of probably the fastest growing and evolving part of law is now is estate planning, because you had World War II, and then you had the servicemen come back after being gone for 5 years.
Right.
And then you had a lot of babies being born in the 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, you know, post. And now the baby boomers are coming to age in their 70s. And so hence you have estate planning issues, and you have all kinds of, you know, people living longer. You got Medicaid planning.
Mm-hmm.
You got all kinds of other issues that you have to deal with. You know, since people are living longer, they're having second and third marriages. So it's sort of growing, and it's good to plan, but if you don't plan, the state's going to tell you how to disperse your assets. And
correct. Yeah. And so if you don't have a will, meaning don't plan, don't do anything,
which lawyers, if I always say, if you like lawyers and you want them in your office a lot for your children, don't plan, because you're going to need them to do things that are very routine.
Yeah, listen, there's situations where you may not, you know.
But for the most part.
For the most part, if you have immovable property, real estate, then you will probably need to have a lawyer. You will need to have a lawyer because they're going to have that real estate transferred in a succession to your heirs, even if it's a surviving spouse. So those things, you know, need to be taken care of, and so you might as well get it done on the front end. But if, in fact, you don't have a will, and there's something called intestate succession, there's a testate where you execute a testament, a last will and testament, and then there's intestate where you don't sign a will.
For us people in Bucktown means without a will.
Without a will, right? What happens is your property is kind of divided, separate, and community. So if you're married, then the aspects of your community property are treated a little differently than your separate property. So, for instance, let's say you have $100,000 that your father gave you, and your father's now deceased, your mother's deceased, and you have it in an account somewhere, and you've got an 18-year-old son. Well, then if something should happen where you die, your wife will have your community property is a big pie. The pie gets cut in half. She gets her half of the community property in full ownership. The other half of the community property goes to your children, subject to a usufruct in favor of that surviving spouse. This $100,000 that's your separate property goes directly to your son. So if you don't want to have that 18-year-old son have all of a sudden have this $100,000 to go spend and do what he wants with, you need to make plans because that is your separate property. It came from your parents. It came from an inheritance. Or if you have property that you had before your marriage, even though you were married 30 years, if it's separate property.
And that's the most common is, let's say, you have husband and wife. Let's say in this case the husband, his first wife died, and he got the house in connection with that succession. Mm-hmm. And then he remarries, lives with his second wife 35 years.
Right.
And then doesn't plan, and he dies. The second wife is out of the house.
Right. She can be booted out because that house belongs to the children.
Right.
And so if he wants to take care of her, then he needs to put that in a will that either she gets a usufruct until she dies, or that she will that he wants to leave it to her, he leaves it to her, and then she can do with it what she wants it you know upon her death. So there are a lot of things that you need to take care of. Let's say you don't have a spouse, then what happens to your property, right? So if you have brothers and sisters and parents, then your brothers and sisters come into the ownership of your property subject to a usufruct by your parents. So your parents get to use your assets until their death, and then it goes into your brothers and sisters.
And then you have other situations because some of the baby boomers were like flower childs at the time. You know, they were they were the flower child portion. And so in their 70s, 80s, some, they're like shacking up, you know?
Right.
And so they're living with someone, and the long-term relationship, they just hadn't, you know, they decide not to get married, and one dies. It's there, you know, you have to make provision in an estate plan, or it's going to be.
And the same thing with gays and lesbians, same type of thing. If you've got, they've been living together for 20, 30 years, you know, and there's no official marriage, then if you want to leave everything to your partner, you really need to make plans to leave that to your partner. Otherwise, all of your property goes to your
heirs.
Your heirs' intestacy.
And what's the priority? If there's no will, who gets it first? Who gets it second?
Well, I mean, if there are no children, right? Yes. First of all, obviously the children are first. Equally and by head. So if one of the children is dead and that child had children, then they represent that parent.
And that's for separate.
Yeah. If there's no spouse,
right.
So the children get first, the brothers and sisters,
they would be second
if there are no children, but subject to a usufruct
of the parents if they're alive.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there are a lot of contingencies, a lot of things to think about, and so if you're not happy with some of the ways that these things fall out, then, You know, same type of thing with let's say you've got a guy who married late in life, all right, and so he's developed a pretty decent nest egg, and he's got a spouse, but he doesn't, and she's the surviving spouse, okay, and so. And they've made those things community property for some reason. You know, he's commingled it to the point where it's community property. But he doesn't want to leave everything to that spouse. He just wants her to have this and be taken care of, but he really wants to leave any things to his adult children. You better plan for that, because otherwise the surviving spouse is going to have a usufruct over everything that is community. So there are just a lot of reasons why you should probably call somebody and get involved.
Also, too, if you don't have intestate, if it has to go in the administration and there's not a consensus as to who's the succession representative, you got to have a whole deal on
that. So
like a little trial on that.
Right. So then the numbers of lawyers that get involved and file those things, et cetera.
That's right. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. We're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. Call us at 260-1870 or text us at 87870. Also, you can call us at South Shore office at 504-837-1304, or you can call us at a North Shore office, and you can talk to my employee and wife, Michelle.
Oh, yeah,
985-624-9697. I like to tweak that.
Of course. You like to stir the pot.
Stir the pot.
You learn from our president.
To stir the pot. I don't want to stir it at home.
Yeah.
Do you know, we got the thing, who's the boss commercial, which is sort of fun. I was given an argument on the First Circuit. And, when you do an appellate argument, you sit there and three judges hit you with questions.
Right.
It's like, rapid fire. Pop, 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 pop. You know, they're asking you all these questions as you're going through your argument. And a judge says, on the First Circuit, he's probably listening right now. He says, one last question. I said, uh-oh, I'm thinking I'm about to get.
Yeah, right.
And he says, who's the boss? And I said.
I was at a hearing about a month ago. And, I finished the hearing and I came back to my seat and grabbed my stuff. And somebody said, yeah, you need to talk about this on your show on Sunday. It's like, oh gosh.
We sort of do. We just change the names. We just take the concepts.
Protect the names. Protect the names, protect the innocent.
Because you know what? Truth is stranger than fiction.
We would not have any examples without truth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, if we wrote them all down, we would probably be able to sell them one day without the names. All right, let's go to Glenn. He's got a question regarding wills. Hey, Glenn, you and all things legal.
I got a rule and everything. Everybody needs a will because you can get in a situation, as you know, where you have to have an executor appointed or administrator.
Right,
you got to fight over that. Or if you got to appoint one, I've been in that situation before, then 7%, 8% of the estate for the cost of a bond. So, everybody needs a will to appoint that executor or executrix.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out if you've got to protect your wife from your previous marriage children, because there's always a fight.
Ooh,
but
correct.
Everyone, every time. It brings out the best and the worst in people and everything when you've got money. And then the other thing is if you've got, an estate sex situation, federal tax, you only got, 90 days to come up with that first cash. If you don't have an executor to scramble and put everything together, you're totally, and you got to go to court and
exactly.
title that.
Right. Hearings got to be set and everything
before.
Else.
Oh, yeah. It's just horrible, and the things people do. But everybody needs a will. So the most important thing, I think, is appoint the executor and waive bond.
Correct. Yeah, you don't want your executor to have to post a bond because
it's quite a burden.
It's quite a burden. And keep in mind, too, when you step up to be an executor or an executrix of an estate, you're personally liable for your gross negligence. But, you could be grossly negligent by doing things that you might think are okay. I spent this, I did that, I bought myself this, whatever. You're a fiduciary to that succession. And so you have some duties and obligations as well.
Well, you're going to have to get court approval, but but the executor has the power. They pick, like, okay, I'm going to sell this. I'm going to pay this debt.
Of course.
You know, they're subject to court approval, but they make that decision.
Well, that actually, that's not quite the case, because if you have an independent administrator or executor, then that person can sell property without leave of court. They as long as they do an accounting under an independent administration. And that's actually kind of the beauty of it, because it saves a lot of money. And that's why that's been the misconception about, you know, preparing a will and getting, you know, going through probate and all that sort of thing, that, oh, it's so expensive, so I'm going to do one of these, you know, $10,000 revocable trusts.
No, it saves you money. Oh, it saves you money having a will every time.
Correct.
It'll save you thousands of dollars.
Correct. And so, but that's just it. Now you don't, if you have an independent administrator or executrix appointed, then that person can sell property, do things as if the testator was still alive without leave of court, which means they don't have to call me and say, hey, Albert, I want to sell this piece of property. You've got to now go advertise it and file a motion with the court to do it and do it. You don't have to do any of that anymore. So that saves so much money in the in the succession process. So
it's not only that, but that person is making the decisions.
Correct.
So you're picking somebody that you want to pick to make, not the five kids that hate your wife, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, that happens every time.
Hey, Glenn, it sounds like you got a little experience.
Hey, you know what? In Connect, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could tell you stories and everything. I had one guy, an old guy, he adopted a 25-year-old, you know, as his daughter. I mean, that went on for years. So to make her a forced heir back then, and right. I had one guy die, and he didn't make a particular disbursement of this multimillion-dollar business to everybody, so that they would fight over it. He wanted to see that, you know, and the whole, and so it was nice. Just. It was just a circus. The whole thing was a circus and everything.
I bet the lawyers love that.
We had to pay federal estate taxes, and we only had 90 days to come up with money, and it was just a mess. And the attorney they hired, he had got indicted for income, or convicted for not paying income taxes. I mean, it was a real crazy situation and everything. So, but yeah, the will. That 2 hours of attorney's fees or whatever is going to save you a lot of money down the line and protect your spouse or whatever.
At the end of the day, it will be your wishes. Not what the courts decides, and not what you know somebody else thinks that they think your wishes are.
And you've got the executor in place or whatever, you know, that's going to hopefully carry out your wishes. You're making that choice. And that's everything, but when they don't do it, it's you know, you're leaving it up to the courts.
Absolutely,
you know, it's just like, you know, domestic courts. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, Glenn, thanks for the call.
Well,
you brought
up
a lot of good points.
And also, too, in keeping with the policy of our show, if you bring in insight, you're free to bill Albert. Insight there. So I'll give you an address off air. All right, Glenn, thanks for the call. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. You know, you made reference to wills, independent administrators. That's one of the misconceptions that I guess is utilized in maybe saying, well, you need to do a trust before, you know, while you're around still, in order to avoid probate. But if you got an independent administrator, it goes smooth.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I say if you get an independent administrator, it's the difference between going from Metairie or New Orleans to Kenner on I-10 as opposed to Veterans Highway. There's not a bunch of stoplights on the way.
Right.
And independent administrator allows the person who's put in charge of the estate to basically run with it. And he's got to carry out the terms and conditions of will. Can't deviate from that.
Right.
But it gives them the freedom on how to do it and do it very expediently, which saves money.
If there's a piece of property and they want to sell it, they can sell that piece of property. As long as, and they have to do an annual accounting if it takes longer than a year, and they'll have to do a final accounting regardless. And the final accounting, it's going to have to be, if the decedent left equally to all three children this, then all three children need to be accounted for equally financially.
In an independent administration, you can seal the financial information from the records. You have the rights for doing that.
Yeah,
so you can keep it all
private.
That's
relatively new, and that way it's more private.
It's all private, mm-hmm. So the creditors aren't looking through there or people trying to solicit.
Or just people that are nosy.
In general. Yeah, nosy.
Exactly.
To see what you got, what you don't have. All right, we're going to CBS News, local news, and we'll be back for hour number two and all things legal in 10 minutes. See you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.